All right, what does Ohana mean? Ohana mean? Family, and family means? Nobody gets left behind or forgotten. Tonight we are starting a series called Ohana. Okay, it's about family. And we're going to deal with all different kinds of family and all different kind of sizes of family and all kind of stuff. So, but the first question is, why do we need family? That's not rhetorical. Somebody throw an answer out at me. Why do we need family? To support each other, I agree. To love. That's what Amanda was going to say as well. What else we got? Why do we need family? To encourage each other. Okay, I agree with all those things. The verse, kind of the theme verse for this whole series, is Proverbs 27:12. Anybody know Proverbs 27:12? They almost knew it. Anybody know Proverbs 27:12? No, she doesn't have that one memorized. That one wasn't a JBQ question or an Honor Star question, apparently. So, Proverbs 27:12, hit it, Wes. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. How many of you guys have ever sharpened a knife? Right? What do you sharpen a knife with? Another knife you can use, or something else solid, something else hard, right? A stone, right, okay? See, and those two things rub against each other, and yeah, it sharpens the knife, okay? So, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We should, in our relationships with each other, be sharpening each other and helping each other to grow as Christians. That is kind of our basic verse for this whole series here, this whole family series. So then the first question becomes, we're going to start big, we're going to start global here. Who is the family of God? Who is in the family of God? Not quite everybody. It's most people. Seems like a reasonable. Who is in the family of God? Anybody? Christians! Ta-da, that was the answer. Okay, people who believe in Jesus. I'm going to trip over this tree 40 times this series. All right, so John 1, verses 12 and 13 says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So why are we children of God? It's right there at the top. All who did receive him. It's not because of who our earthly parents are. It's not because of who we grew up with or anything like that. It's because we have received God. That is who is in the family of God. If somebody rejects God, they're not considered a child of God yet. Okay, somebody who rejects Jesus is not in the family yet. We want them to be. We're going to keep trying to get them in the family, but they're not there yet. So everyone who believes in Jesus is in the family. It's not about what we do or who our earthly family is. It's just about if Jesus has come into our hearts and made us new creations in him. Now, there's another group of people that's kind of in that same thing there, and that is all churches who love Jesus are part of the family of God. Okay, and I think sometimes this is an issue, especially those who grew up kind of back in the 70s and 80s, which is none of us, obviously, but we have reaped the mindset of this, which is that our church is the best and nobody should ever go to any other church, right? We have kind of this thing. But that's not biblical at all. The Bible tells us that anybody who loves Jesus is in the family of God, which means we need to treat any other church that loves, not even just about AG, okay? You know, Baptists and anybody who loves Jesus, who's preaching the Bible, who's preaching salvation through grace, through Jesus, is part of the family of God. Now, there's a reason that we get together with all those people. You know, I mean, we hang around, I like to hang around with people from all different churches. You know, me and Steve-O and Blake and some of the other youth pastors go to lunch about once a month or so, and we hang out socially sometimes outside of that. Although being the only single youth pastor around here kind of makes me the fifth wheel sometimes because they're all married now. But, you know, we hang out sometimes or whatever. And, you know, we have youth rallies and we have youth convention and we go to camp and we do fine arts. And all these things are ways for us to get together and build each other up. Not just our church, but to build up together as the whole body, the whole family of Christ to build up the family, to do Proverbs 27:17. Okay, so whenever we go to these things, like the youth rally or the youth rally / lock-in next week, okay, it's not just about having a good time, although we will do that. It's biblical for us to stay up all night and be ridiculous, right? Because we're building each other up. We're encouraging one another. Okay, lock-ins are biblical. Y'all didn't know that, did you? That may be a bit of a stretch, but I say it's true. And the other reason we get together and we have to do this, because see, here's the thing. I love doing things like lock-ins, or, you know, I know some of you guys went over to First Baptist over Thanksgiving break and played socket ball, okay, and I was over there for that. And, you know, some of your friends have come to our lock-ins from other churches, and that's great. The other thing we have to do with other churches, with people from other churches, is to minister together, okay? If we're just hanging out with them, then we're not exercising the whole part of being the family of God. Then we're just friends, which is great. We need Christian friends. But then we're not really fulfilling our duty as Christians, which is to sharpen each other. Hanging out with each other is great, but we got to be productive. When you sharpen a knife, it's for a reason, right? You're going to do something with that knife. So if we're going to hang out with other Christians, there needs to be a reason. We need to be accomplishing something with them. So we need to minister with other people. You say, you know what, I go to school with a lot of Christians and I know what church they go to. That's great, but if there's never any ministry happening, then that's not really a super beneficial friendship, okay? First priority in FCA, and these things are great, and you should be ministering together. I know a couple times Audrey's had the chance to lead worship at First Priority with friends who go to other churches. That's awesome. That's what I'm talking about. And, you know, and doing things like the Dream Center. Last year, not this past Christmas, but two Christmases ago, a few of us went over there. The Dream Center down on Murphy on the south side here has a big Christmas dinner every year that they do. And this year it was during school, so most of you guys couldn't help out. But 2 years ago, I know several of you came out, and it was a bunch of different churches. You had the Dream Center, you had us. We had a bunch of different churches who got together and just loved people in the name of Jesus, fed a free Christmas lunch to all kind of people that desperately needed it, that weren't going to have a big Christmas full of gifts, and that weren't going to have, you know, they were going to be sleeping in a downrun place if they had an address at all. I was there this year, and you know, they were doing some giveaways, and one of the things they had to do was write down their address on a little raffle ticket so that they could get a hold of them. And I heard one guy go, "I don't have an address." And it really struck me. I was like, dang, I'm sheltered. Like, whoa, literally, you know, like I'm literally sheltered and figuratively sheltered because I've never had to deal with that. Most of us have never had to deal with that. But we were ministering together, you know, and Invictus that I go to, you guys probably hear me talk about it quite often, but Invictus is a young adults group, college and career group that Wes and I go to. And it's kind of based out of Harvest Time Church out on 191, but there's people from Midland First, there's our drummers from the Dream Center, Wes and I are there, our worship leader is from a church out in Big Spring. All kinds of different churches come together as a ministry, and so we have to be ministering alongside those other people. We cannot just be friends. We should be friends, but there has to be more than just hangout time. We have to be accomplishing things for the kingdom with those people. Okay, now my second question regarding family tonight, I've only got two real big points, and that was the first one, is who is the church? The second one is, what is the relationship of the church to the world? Like, what is our family, you know, like your family has certain relationships with other families, okay? You know, my family has certain relationships. We've got really close friends. We've got some friends named the Rogers that we've known since I was in, like, sixth grade, I think, and when we were in 10th grade, they had moved. Tim was a military guy, and they had gotten transferred to Hawaii, okay, and they were some of our closest friends, so a few years later, we went out and visited them for Thanksgiving. I spent Thanksgiving in Hawaii, and it was cool. The coolest thing about it was, you know, they're 6 hours behind Eastern time, so when the 1 o'clock, this was Thanksgiving, it was football season, so when the 1 o'clock games start Eastern, it's like 8 a.m. there or 7 a.m. there. So you get up and you're getting ready for church and football's already on TV. It's pretty cool. I really enjoyed that. But, you know, so that was a really close relationship we had with the Rogers, you know. But then other friends we weren't that tight with. We couldn't just, you know, that we didn't have, there's a lot of families that we wouldn't fly halfway, you know, fly 7 hours and crash at their house for a week. You know, you have different relationships. So what is the relationship that the family of God has to the world? Somebody. We're called to reach them. Yes, I agree. And they're lost. I agree with that. Here, I'll give you this verse here. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. You see, the thing is, the world doesn't understand us. You guys know you have that, like, you probably have a friend or somebody you go to school with who their family's just a little different, right? You're like, oh, yeah, them, you know? Okay, maybe you are that family. I don't know, and that's okay, because we are that family. As the church, the world doesn't understand us. The world does not get what we're doing, okay? It says right there in 1 John 3:1, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. You see, our common tie together, you and me and, you know, missionaries in Africa and Christians in China who have underground churches, our common bond is Jesus. We have that in common. But the world doesn't have that in common with us, so the world doesn't understand us. The world doesn't know us. Therefore, we should not try to be like the world. Now, I have talked at various points about how we need to be examples to the world, and that's incredibly true. I think that, you know, especially when it comes to setting the standard for things, a lot of people are surprised when they go to a Christian concert or event. They think the production value is going to be really low. They think the lights are going to stink and the music is going to be just okay. I think Christians ought to be like the best band. I think instead of people saying, oh, that's the Christian version of Coldplay, Coldplay ought to be the secular version of Hillsong, right? You know, I think we ought to be the standard, but that does not mean we should be necessarily like the world is or conform to the world. Okay, the next verse I'm going to look at here is 1 Peter 2:9. Should sound familiar. That's our theme verse. Okay, this is the way we get our youth group name. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Now, there's two words that I like in that. Two of my favorite words in that whole scripture are, the first one is holy. What does holy mean? I've said this several times. My favorite definition of holy, and there's a couple of them, but I've said this before. Of God. Yes, that's not the one I'm looking for, though. What does holy mean? Nobody remembers. Okay. Holy means set apart. Okay, it means different. Okay, holy by its very... See, God is holy because he is set apart from us. He is not like us, and we can all agree with that. So we are called to be different than the world, a holy nation. My other favorite word in there is peculiar, and the King James is the only version that uses peculiar, but I love that terminology. I love that we are called peculiar. Our youth group shirt says stay peculiar, because we should not be like the world. The world should see us as different. Okay, if the world can't tell that we're Christians, we're not doing a very good job of it. I've heard it said many times, if you were arrested and put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Okay, if somebody was trying to figure out whether you're a Christian or not, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would there be enough evidence to say, yes, that person is definitely a Christian? We should be different than the world. Paul writes in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to attest and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How many of you have ever wondered what God's will is for your life? I have. Okay, I think at some point probably all of us have wondered what God's will is for our life. You want to know how to figure it out? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, okay? That means be becoming more like Jesus. You got to be in the Word. You got to be doing your devotions like we talked about earlier. Eat this book, okay? Do not be like the world. People of the world don't know what God's will is because they're not in tune with God's will. They're not in tune with God. So if you want to know what God's will is, you can't be like the world. You've got to be different. You've got to be in tune with the things of God. So the big challenge here tonight, the big challenge, the main point of this message is this. How are you interacting with the family of God? Okay, the global church, the capital C church, the church of the world. How do you interact with them? Do you just hang out with our church and do you ignore other churches? Do you not try to go to their events? Okay, several of the youth rallies, there's some of you who have not been to a single youth rally we've gone to in the 14 months I've been here. Some of you haven't been for a whole one. Okay, that's not interacting with our family correctly. You know, I mean, that's not correct. I think we need to be involved with other churches. We need to be doing things with them. More than just going to camp and hanging out with the same five people we hung out the previous 3 years at camp. Okay, we've got to be a part of the global church, the capital C church. So the question is, how can you be better at interacting with other people and other Christians? Maybe you've got a lot of Christian friends that go to other churches. You're doing a great job of that, but you're not serving together. You're not doing any ministry. You're just kind of hanging out with them. Great, hang out with them. Have Christian friends. Sharpen each other. But be productive. Okay, if you just sit there and sharpen a knife all day, but you never cut anything with it, it's not doing much good. Okay, if we sharpen a knife all day, but nothing ever gets cut, then we just have a really dangerous weapon. Somebody's going to get hurt. Okay, don't be just a sharp knife. Be a knife that is accomplishing something. That's my challenge to you guys. How can you interact with the church better than you are right now, the global church?